Hey, Rob here, getting you ready for today's podcast. We're going to be talking about all of the Ponderosa videos from this season of Survivor that are up on CBS.com. If you have seen them, I think you'll enjoy this recap with Liana Boris. And if not, we'll tell you about what you missed. Not essential viewing, but we'll talk about everything that happened over there on the Ponderosa videos. Before we bring in Liana, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at 1-800-CON. Contacts. And 1-800-CONTACTS is a great service because if you're a contact lens wearer, it's very hard right now or even impossible for you to get more contact lenses from your eye care provider since many stores are closed. Not to worry, 1-800-CONTACTS has your brand in stock and they are ready to ship. 1-800-CONTACTS has been shipping contact lenses directly to people's homes for 25 years. They're the experts in the industry and they have 45 million contacts in stock and they are shipping orders daily. It couldn't be simpler. You order the same contacts that you would from your doctor. You just look on the side of the contacts box for your prescription details. You can order online, over the phone, or with their app, and they ship them fast and free to your home. You can even renew your prescription online using their express exam. I got my mom set up with 1-800-CONTACTS when 1-800-CONTACTS came on board as a sponsor. They were able to get her the contacts she needed. She didn't have to leave the house, which was great for all of us, and she was able to get the contacts that she would normally get sent right to the house. As simple as that. There's award-winning 24/7 customer support. If you ever need help or have any questions, their best price guarantee means if you find your contacts cheaper somewhere else, they'll beat it. And they have 45 million contacts in stock, so you're sure to find your brand. They've been doing this for 25 years. They're the experts in vision care. So let 1-800-CONTACTS get you the contact lenses that you need. Order online at 1-800-CONTACTS.com, or you can order with their free app, or call 1-800-CONTACTS. That's 1-800-266-4228. That's 1-800-CONTACTS, 1-800-266-8228. Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino.
And I'm Liana Boris.
And this is our Ponderosa recap podcast. Yes, that's right. That's right. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. I just got back. I've taken a shower. I've had a burger to eat and I'm feeling much better.
Yeah. We are talking about Ponderosa videos, okay? All right, everybody, that we are in just the very beginning of the Survivor off season, okay? We are not wasting anything. I think that Liana is not unlike myself in this after listening to the Q&A on the Masked Singer recap episode that you don't want to throw anything away any wasted food, right?
That's right. I don't like to be wasteful. So every little nugget of Survivor 40, I want to pick through and I want to put it to good use.
You're not about the utility vegetable.
No utility vegetables. Yes. I have to respect people's orders. They have to order what they're going to eat. You know, don't throw anything away. I'm just like Adam Klein here. Mm-hmm. We take everything. We use it all.
I'm not sure how many people went and watched the Ponderosa videos, but there is actually a lot of Ponderosa footage. I'm not sure exactly how much of it is essential viewing for every Survivor viewer, but we are here to talk about what you've seen, or we watched it for you.
You're welcome.
Yes. So we could tell you exactly what's out there here on this podcast.
This is our Ponderosa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Before we start talking Ponderosa, Liana, of course, that you had the B&B this weekend, back with Mike Bloom after I stole him away for a week, Gabby Pascuzzi. How was the finale edition of the B&B?
I feel like Mike went out with his friends and he's now going to get a tattoo and you're returning him to me and he's now this bad boy. Like, what have you done with my sweet man whore Mike Bloom?
It was his idea.
Yeah, it's like, Mike, what is you doing, baby? Like, no, stop. But he did agree to potentially get a soup tattoo, which is B&B themed. So I guess all in all,
he's getting multiple tattoos now.
Well, no, I think this would be one that's part of the Brant's deal.
Oh, okay. So, this is going to be a soup tattoo.
Throw it in the mix.
In the brand steel. Is there a survivor soup?
What is your soup? I don't know if he's going to put words underneath it or something, or it's just a bowl of soup.
I don't know.
We didn't really discuss the details. But yes, the B&B was a lot of fun with Gabby as our
soup
guest.
Hawk.
And I think we broke down a lot of different things. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Liana, for the uninitiated, can you describe what the Ponderosa videos are?
Sure. So generally, during the season of Survivor, when someone is voted out of the game, they are leaving the game. They don't go to the edge of extinction. They go to Ponderosa and they sort of get a 6-7 minute video that recaps their exit from the game, getting weighed, getting their first food, talking with the other castaways that are there at Ponderosa, taking a shower, all that stuff. And it's sort of a nice little bookend to their game in general. Now, obviously, with the edge of extinction here, we kind of get a mass Ponderosa video with all of the contestants after that last challenge to get back into the game.
Yeah, they did this also for the Edge of Extinction season, which didn't have the regular Ponderosa videos. They had sort of like the group Ponderosa videos, and it was the same sort of theme as what we see here with like everybody going to like a big barbecue, not a Barassi barbecue. And so did you watch those videos, Liana?
The ones from this season?
From the Edge of Extinction. From the Edge of Extinction.
From
38.
The Edge of Extinction season, not
yes,
this season.
Yes, from season 38.
I think I probably did, but I can barely remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah,
that's fine. Nothing I can tell you about those.
The only thing I remember from those was the barbecue, and then David Wright was like showing off that he had like the book of every single puzzle they've ever done in the history of the show that he was studying, and then running people through the challenges from his book. That's the one thing I remember from the season 38 Edge of Extinction Ponderosa.
Which is, I'm sure, exactly what survivors want to do as soon as they're finally out of the game. Oh no, let's go back and do some puzzles.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what's going on. So basically we pick up, this is like a big epilogue to what we had in the season. Not an epilogue challenge. That's different, where that you, after the episode, they go up and down the mountain a bunch of times. So we have everybody that's basically like, okay, Natalie, all right, see you later. And then this is what happens to the rest of the players. And it's a lot of like players sort of like looking back, not just on the game, but a lot of the players looking back on their Survivor career.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, now all I can think of is the epilogue, epic log challenge, which maybe we'll get to see at some point in the future. But yeah, I thought this was really interesting because it really was a wrap on some of the Survivor's games. Like, I think it was Parvati who said, we know we're retiring. We know we're hanging up our gloves. And it really did feel like, oh, this is the end of some of these players ever playing Survivor again. And you kind of had this group that was content with how their story was wrapping up, another group that maybe seemed less content. So it was really interesting to see the perspectives of these players once they officially left the game.
We're also going to learn a lot about the eating habits of the survivors as they come in off of the Edge of Extinction. And I feel like that we got a real like window into like the most specific food preferences of a lot of these players.
I think the food got more airtime than Nick Wilson in the Ponderosa video.
Yeah.
I got to see Rob feeding Ethan a Kit Kat bar, which is something I never thought I'd see in my life.
Yeah.
It was very heavily, a lot of food, lot of food.
And so there's probably about like 8 or 9 different videos that they were broken up into chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And then chapter 5 was just like everybody like looking at their loved ones' videos. Like, I'm not sure if the loved ones recorded videos when they were at Ponderosa. And then there is a video about the relationship of Rob and Amber. There's a video about Sandra looking back at her career. And then there is a video when Denise shows up, a video when Ben shows up, and a video when Sarah shows up.
Right. So the Denise, Ben, and Sarah videos are what the typical
the traditional
Ponderosa videos are.
Ponderosa style. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, but altogether, I mean, what is it? There's got to be like, 70, 80 minutes of content.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, let's see. So I actually, somebody had compiled them all sort of into like two big videos. And I think one was 50 minutes and the other was 35. So yeah, it was, you know, a whole movie's worth of Survivor season 40.
A lot of stuff. Okay. All right. So I guess let's start with chapter one entitled The Way Home. And this video is basically the boat ride from, not Danny Boatwright, the boat ride from the Edge of Extinction to Ponderosa.
Right. And you can see them, you know, you open up on them, this montage of them walking. And the first thing I noticed is they're all carrying soda cans. So I like to think that was the immediate priority was, okay, the survivors are done. They need soda.
Well, I could tell you just from, I guess, my experience, it was this way in Amazon. I don't remember what it was like in the All-Stars. I don't think that they gave me anything on site. But I remember that when I got voted out in the Amazon, they gave me, I think it was an orange soda and Oreos, which is not like a great combination, but I do think that they have that stuff like ready to go, like the when you're like, you know, they take you out of the game. You know, you have a soft drink and then also some sort of like a cookie.
But you didn't get a choice. That's just what you were given.
I feel like I don't remember very much, but I remember that they told me that, okay, well, you did a good job and. We're having a party tonight, and I think they told me that they were having a toga party at Ponderosa. I was like, "Oh, that sounds pretty cool." And then they gave me an orange soda, and then Oreos. But I don't think they gave me anything in the All Stars. I think they were just like, "You didn't do a good enough job. You don't get a cookie."
The further you make it, that's what actually determines your soda and cookie preference or choice, right? So, you know, you unfortunately didn't make it far enough.
Maybe Rob. Ponderosa in Survivor All-Stars was closer and they're like, oh, we'll just give him something when he gets there.
Like, he'll be fine. He's only been starving for, you know, however many days.
Only
like,
12 days.
Yeah.
Not that big a deal. Okay. So on the way home, and everybody is eating, Tyson is eating like 7 Oreos at once.
Oh, that was a great moment. You can just picture what Tyson must do after he gets all of his kids' Halloween candy and like Bergen's in the other room and he's just like shoving it in his mouth. It was very, very impressive. This was also the moment, where we got Rob feeding Ethan the Kit Kat bar and just them just going to town on all of the candy that was there.
Yeah. What were some of the takeaways that you had in the first video?
I think it was the line that Sophie said. She said something along the lines of, this is not just a celebration of the game, but of people's careers, which I think then that continues throughout the theme of the rest of these Ponderosa videos, that it was kind of wrapping up some people's careers. And of course, we get some Boston Rob and Amber talking about their family and relationship, even though they get a whole video dedicated to them later. But it was mostly the candy, not going to lie.
Yeah. So basically, this entire video is basically like them in the tent and then just sort of like setting up how they're feeling coming out of the game. But just a lot of setup here in the first video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting that they broke these up into chapters because I guess they were thematic, but it felt like just chapters at least 1 through 4 all went together. That was like one story. That could have just, you know, no need for chapters in this fan fiction that is the Ponderosa.
Yeah. Okay. So we ultimately then arrive at Ponderosa where we have a bunch of food out and then people are going to start seeing themselves for the first time. Ethan, I thought, has some really compelling content talking about how he's done with being a survivor. He's tired of that word.
Right. Yes. He doesn't just want to survive. He's a thriver now.
He's a thriver. Yeah.
Love the rebranding.
he's going to rebrand. So he was one of the people that was like in the content crew. Meanwhile, that Jeremy talked about how he was not happy with how this experience ultimately came and went.
Yeah, Jeremy really didn't seem happy all in all, except for his few interactions, I think, with Tyson. But Wendell was a highlight for me, actually, yeah. in the Ponderosa videos. And he was teasing Jeremy, calling him Gramps, and Jeremy just seemed like he was not having it at all, which I feel bad. My heart goes out to Jeremy because this is his third time playing, and I want him to feel good about the game that he played, especially because he made it so far. And I think that a lot of us maybe didn't think that he would be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, that I thought that Jeremy and Tyson, but more Jeremy were the people that were like salty about how it didn't go their way.
Mm-hmm. I put Jeremy, Tyson, and Nick all in the not content group.
I don't even know. Did Nick talk at all about how he was feeling? Nick is really Purple Nick in the Ponderosa videos.
Yeah, he really is. I think there was a little bit maybe in this one, and then there was one moment later on that he seemed a little not super happy about some of the ways that things went.
Yes, so, no, he did that. We'll talk about yeah. that later. I think that should, okay. that comes up when Denise gets voted out.
Yes.
So did we pass the part where Wendell talks about the blanket he made on the edge of extinction?
That one was later.
Oh, that's later.
That
okay.
Was,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get there. My notes are a little disjointed from it's like an episode from The Edge of Extinction.
Yeah. We had briefly talked about let's do a Ponderosa podcast. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, how do we do this? What are we talking about?
Yeah. They arrive at the Ponderosa, and I was so happy to hear these words from Wendell Holland, because
yes.
we know that once upon a time he was critical of Chris Noble, and he felt like that Chris Noble had no bars.
Stop rapping. You're trash.
Yeah. But here he is. I don't know if he has to pay royalties because they once upon a time they took this video down. But here he is entering Ponderosa.
Approach the magnificent Ponderosa.
Living my dream on Ponderosa. Smoke for the faces. I call it Sammy Sosa.
That was my favorite moment.
Yeah.
of all of the Ponderosa videos. I don't know. Does this mean that... I mean, this means that Wendell memorized or at least remembered that Chris Noble rap. I don't know what that says about Wendell or Chris Noble's ability, but... he must have fallen in love with it. I think like most of us did.
Yeah, they should just be playing that song like on blast at Ponderosa.
Maybe that's the theme song of
yeah.
Ponderosa.
It should be the theme song of Ponderosa. I'm not sure how many people in this crew are going to necessarily be into the Chris Noble Ponderosa replay, but we loved it.
I wonder how many people would have known what that was. Would have been just like, turn this racket off. He met Boston Rob, especially.
What is this racket? What is this? I never heard this song. Boston Rob and Amber, I think it wasn't really a part of the TV show, but it comes up a lot in these Ponderosa videos that Boston Rob and Amber refound love on The Edge of Extinction.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, I was fine with all the Boston Rob and Amber content. I didn't know they were going to get their whole own video, which we'll talk about later. But apparently, yeah, this like brought them closer together. Maybe it was because Amber said Boston Rob looks like what he
yeah.
did when they met, which I thought was like, is this a read? Is this an insult?
Yeah, yeah. it's funny, you know, that they fell in love on Survivor, as we'll talk about later, and I can give you my PTSD from Rob and Amber falling in love, but it was interesting that they were just like, because they were back on the island together. It's weird. It's almost like if, you know, you ended up like, you were like high school sweethearts with somebody, and then all of a sudden you found yourself like back in the high school for
yeah.
an extended period of time.
Well, I think people talk about, oh, certain smells can bring up memories. Maybe it was just the aura of Survivor, the air of Survivor. It's like they're renewing of the vows, but for Boston Rob and Amber. I don't know what this means. Maybe in a couple more years, 10 years, let's say they're having marital problems. Do you think they'll agree to come back on Survivor?
Yeah, just go back out there and live on the island, because it's brings back memories. It's a great diet. So everything to, you know, rekindle the relationship.
and they get paid for it, which is very different than for most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good job by Rob and Amber. There's a lot of talk from Boston Rob throughout these Ponderosa videos about how this is the end of the line for Rob and Amber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely get the sense from some people that they are very definitely not coming back again to play Survivor. At least that's what they articulate at that moment in time when they recorded the Ponderosa videos. And mm-hmm. Boston Rob was definitely one of those.
Yeah. All right, Liana, big barbecue. Anything impress you on the spread that they have out for the Survivors?
Well, I did see pizza, which made me wonder. It's like, is this the Fijian pizza? Is this different than the ones that they get? I had a lot of questions. What is their peanut butter? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Would people have eaten the peanut butter if it had been there? Oh, no, because Adam does talk about it. Yeah. So there must have been peanut butter.
I think during one of the videos, maybe it's like in Denise's video, it looks like there's like a bottle or a jar of like Skippy that's just on the table.
Well, then that answers Allie Lasher's question of what brand of peanut butter.
I think it's Skippy. We hear a lot about the strategies of the different players in terms of what their food is going to be. The one person who is like me getting into like a cold swimming pool is Adam Klein of like that he like everybody else is like Tyson's eating like, you know, five burgers at once. Adam is like, I am just going to eat this one thing. That's all I want, because if I'm eating, it's over. It was shades of the Aris conversation with Vetus about if I'm eating a cheeseburger, then I'm out of the game.
Right. Yeah. And that was a continuing storyline as well. It was not just this feast, but also the next day, Adam Klein was like, no, I'm not going to eat a lot.
I'm just eating this muffin.
If I'm going to eat something, it is going to be the chocolate chip muffin.
And peanut butter. Yeah. did anybody's massive weight loss come to surprise you that people dropped a, you know, huge amount of weight?
Well, I think it was once we saw the Ponderosa videos for like Denise, Ben, and Sarah, and you see the contrast between what the people on the edge of extinction lost. Like Boston Rob lost 34 pounds mm-hmm. or something crazy like that. Like, that's insane. But it does give me kind of old school Survivor vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like a lot of weight to lose. But I lost 30 pounds in the Amazon.
That's crazy, because that's essentially a pound a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Yule who said, I'm a phlebotomist's dream, because mm-hmm. he was all veiny.
Yeah, I mean, Danny is really, I mean, that it's like scary, you know, how much like weight she's lost on the edge of extinction being out there the entire time. So yeah, the edge of extinction is no joke.
Yeah, it's brutal. And well, I think Natalie Anderson talked
about
it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And when people are like, yeah, Ethan, you're really thin. And then he looks himself in the mirror. Is like, I have no ass.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Ethan.
How come nobody told me? I have no ass.
Yeah. And he's not talking about All-Star Survivor.
That's right. It's a body part this time.
Yeah. But big barbecue. Liana, then we get to like the picking of the rooms. This is a little bit like a Big Brother season of everybody is going to pick what rooms they want to stay in. It's not unlike the this is your quarantine house meme of what room are you going to have at Ponderosa?
Well, I wasn't sure. Did they get to pick their rooms? I assume so, because we had Jeremy, Wendell, and Tyson all as roommates.
Yeah, so I think that this is always a thing at Ponderosa where like one of the early like merge boots gets like there's like one really good room with a big bed, and I've seen it before like on the different, like I feel like that John Morrison like took that bed. We're gonna see Tyson and Jeremy fighting over that bed, but it's almost like I think if you're one of the earlier boots of the merge, I feel like you have roommates, and then the people that get voted out like at the end of the game, it seems like that they have their own room.
Yeah, that hardly seems fair.
Yeah, it hardly seems fair. I mean, I guess it's like a perk of going further into the game, but it's like, all right, Denise, you're only going to be here 2 days. Like, why you can't like sleep at the, like, and you just got out of the game. Like, you'd be happy to sleep on the cot.
Yeah, right. And I think she even talked. She's like, I didn't even really sleep all that much anyway. So
yeah,
Not necessary.
I mean, like when Ben gets there, I mean, and he's voted out on day 37. Like he's in like a suite.
Yeah. And with his shower beer, he had room for that as well. Yeah. It was very odd, the choice. And especially because with Jeremy, Wendell, and Tyson all rooming together, that was interesting. Okay, and then, of course, Rob and Amber, yeah. I guess, had to be roommates.
So that's the party room. Jeremy, Wendell, and Tyson. And Tyson had the big bed. I loved it when Jeremy was talking about that. This is Wendell's bed. Wendell probably sleeps on a bed like this at home. Which I don't know if he's followed any of Wendell's, his whole thing was like, let me build you a bed. So I bet he has a better bed than just that cot, Jeremy.
Yeah. I mean, given what he was able to make on the Edge of Extinction, you know, I expect more from Wendell. Plus, you know, if you're going to kick it with somebody, yeah, you got to have some nice accommodations.
Tough to kick it in a twin bed, I hear. So Jeremy, Wendell, Tyson have a party room. Rob and Amber are roommates. What are the other rooms? Do we know?
I don't know if we know. We got to learn about some of the other relationships. I don't know if it necessarily means that they're rooming together, like Sophie and Kim were particularly close.
Yeah, I feel like Sophie and Kim are probably roommates. I feel like that Danny and Parvati, I think, seem like that they're roommates.
Yeah, they were hanging out, making fun of Tyson and the way that he walks. So yes. I could see them rooming together.
Yes. And then... I don't know where Yule is. Are Yule and Nick roommates?
I guess so. Maybe because we
don't ever see them.
Yeah, we don't. Still purple in the Ponderosa videos.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that was on the Edge of Extinction? Oh, and Adam. I don't know. Maybe Adam's in there with them.
I don't know. Adam's just wandering around talking about how he's not eating that much because he has to save space.
Yeah. So we see a lot about like the people like hanging out with each other. Wendell, Jeremy, and Tyson are very fun when they're together. We see it seems like the women have a really fun relationship. So it's what Sophie, Kim, Parvati. Is it Danny? Kim. Sophie, Kim, Parvati, and is it Danny?
And Danny, yeah, I think that are all there that are the clinking their champagne glasses.
Yes, yes. They have a great moment when they're toasting to their success.
Congratulations.
Beautiful, strong women.
Hell yeah. And Nick.
Such a good moment.
That was such a funny moment. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, were they just like toasting to each other and they didn't even realize that Nick is there?
I don't know, because if the theme of Nick creeping on conversations continues, maybe he just like popped up being like, hey, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
Kim was like, oh crap.
Leon, Sophie was really fun in these videos.
Yeah, Sophie was really fun. First of all, it was nice to see that Sophie was feeling better. I was trying to sort of put this in the timeline of like when things happened. I think this must have been filmed before she was sick, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think she's sick for... Does she miss day 38? Does she miss the tribal council with the fire?
Yes. And then she was clearly not feeling great at the last tribal council, the final tribal council. So this must have been before that, when she was in much higher spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. The next day, we see Jeremy Collins in the video entitled The Day After, where we see basically like the continental breakfast at Ponderosa on day 37, or I guess day 36. So we see Jeremy waking up Tyson and competing and saying that he needs that big bet.
Yeah, this was amazing. Because what was the whole thing with Tyson? Like, oh, he doesn't need this, but then he's the last one that was still asleep. What was that? That was the thing. Oh, anyway.
He was like bragging to Jeremy that he's the party guy. He's only slept 3 hours since he's been there. And then he's like having a hard time waking up.
Yeah, and then Jeremy goes to wake up Tyson, like, you know, kids waking up their parents on Christmas morning, just jumping on the bed, trying to get Tyson up. I don't know what his exit strategy was there, Jeremy. Does he just wake Tyson up, and as soon as he leaves, it's finders keepers, and Jeremy just hops under the covers? I'm not sure about that.
He wanted the bed. He said he wanted that bed, but Tyson was, his counterpoint was that he needs to have a big bed like this.
Because he's taller,
yeah,
right?
He like needs have the to space. Have it. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and then Jeremy says, oh, but you sleep curled up in a little ball.
Yeah.
Which is adorable.
Yeah. So everybody's going to get ready for breakfast. Everybody's like happy to have their coffee and everything. Everybody's in a good mood. Boston Rob has a unique breakfast choice, Liana.
Yeah. This was odd. The spaghetti with shrimp for breakfast.
It's like, this is all I've ever wanted for to eat. It's really? It's like,
why didn't you have that for dinner? Oh, I guess they didn't get to pick. They could only eat what was there. Did he special order this?
Yeah. I think they'll make you special orders. Like, they'll put out everything. But I think if you know, there's people that work there, they'll make you whatever you want if you ask for it.
This has revolutionized the way I view breakfast. I did not realize spaghetti and shrimp were even an option.
Yeah. Going to Ponderosa is my dream. I was like, that is the best. Like, I really, like, I don't want to be, like, the first out on a Survivor season. But if I'm like, all right, and the merge boot is Rob, I'm like, oh, no, Ponderosa for 3 weeks. What?
Terrible.
Just, you know, although now I feel like I'm learning the dynamics of, oh, wait, if you're voted out on day 22, guess what? You know, you're in the room with three people and maybe you have the cot.
Yeah, that's a good question. What is the optimal day to be voted out? Next level strategy, optimal day to be voted out for Ponderosa, like maximizing your benefits.
Yeah, I guess you have a cool roommate.
Yeah, most time with your own room, I think, is what you're going for.
Yeah, I think you want to be maybe like around the time like that Kim goes out where you can have like a roommate that you like and then also, you know, get it like almost like, I guess, at least two Tony weeks at Ponderosa.
Yeah. Right.
It's like a honeymoon.
Depends how you count your days. 10 days.
Yeah, I think so. So there was a funny conversation that happens between Boston Rob and Ethan about how Ethan is talking about how he's gained 6 pounds since they've been back at Ponderosa. But Boston Rob tells him that's nothing.
Catch up. Yeah. Still the leader in the clubhouse.
You're my inspiration to gain more weight.
You'll get there.
Someday I hope I can look obese like you.
Follow my lead. Follow my lead, skinny boy.
A lot of shade on Boston Rob between Amber and Ethan.
Yeah. Yeah. But Boston Rob, I mean, he did say he's gained 9 pounds since in the day he's been at Ponderosa.
It's crazy. It's mostly water, but still.
And shrimp and spaghetti.
And shrimp, yes. It's, yeah, exactly. It's 4 pounds water, 5 pounds shrimp and spaghetti.
Yeah. So, all right. We see that Adam, he's only going to eat the muffin. Adam is going to gain the least amount of weight at Ponderosa.
He could learn a thing or two from Boston Rob. He could be under the tutelage with Ethan. I think maybe he could learn a thing or two.
Yeah. How low did Adam's weight get down?
I think he was 130 something.
130. Yeah.
I think he lost like 20 pounds. No.
No. I think it was. I think he started like that low.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But I couldn't believe it. When he talked about like when he got done with Millennials versus Gen X, I couldn't believe how low he was. So I want to say it was like 110.
Yeah, because I think it was something. He was like, oh, I need those couple extra days to lose the extra weight. So
right. All right.
That's why he's picking and choosing. You know? Yeah. He didn't get those extra days.
Okay. Liana, this is where we see about Wendell's comforter from The Edge of Extinction. This is miraculous. Do you understand how this happened?
Okay. Here's what I understand. On The Edge of Extinction, there was a lot of twine or like a knitting.
There's actually a very small amount of twine, I believe about 5 minutes worth of twine.
Before she pulled the twine on the flag. Yes, and then there was even less twine.
Yes.
And he like weaves it together to build this massive comforter thing, which then they went and got from The Edge of Extinction and brought to Ponderosa.
Yeah. Now, on the one hand, like, this was really cool and there were beads in there and he's telling people like place the bead where you want. On the other hand, where is this rope from? Is this just shipwrecked rope? Like, I don't know. Where did this come from? And is it safe to touch?
Yeah, that's a good point. Was it strewn about the island from the producers like the bamboo is, or was this something that actually washed up? It kind of looked like something that had just washed up.
Yeah, and we found out that on the edge of extinction that Wendell slept under the comforter every night with Yule and Danny, and that was his closest relationship in the game.
Yeah, that was super weird. That was almost like somebody flipped a 50-50 coin, and it landed on just two random people, and it was like, okay, you two are best friends now.
Yeah, that's like the Brant Steele of this season. Yes. Like, Wendell has formed a super close relationship with Danny. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, their alliance is an 8 strength. What?
Yeah. Yeah. At least also Wendell and Yule, where they were sort of like going after each other in the game, seems like that they worked everything out on the edge of extinction.
Yeah, that's good. The bead comforter heals all wounds.
There was a really interesting conversation between Kim and Sophie in the game. And Sophie, I feel like that it sounded like she had some regret about how she didn't let Kim in the game. It was like, I felt it. Like, I felt like that I wanted to open up to you. I wanted to go there with you. I mean, she's Kim Spradlin. Like, if she's talking to you, it's like, oh yeah, I want you to be my best friend. And Sophie was almost like, I couldn't do it. I'm putting words in her mouth, but that it sounded like to me, Sophie was saying like, okay, I can't let her get me. And so I'm going to be closed off to her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just imagining if I was in Sophie's shoes and you're talking to Kim Spradlin, who you know is such a good social player and is really, really good at the game of Survivor. You force yourself to put up those walls. And I think Sophie didn't realize that Kim had so few options and that Sophie really could have been Kim's number one. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't allow that to happen. So a little bit in retrospect of once you realize what the actual relationships in the game are, kind of think, oh man, I should have done that. But I can't blame Sophie for that because I probably would have done the same thing.
I also wonder, and I would love to talk to Sophie about this in terms of, you know, that does Sophie's like reluctance to want to work with Kim, does she like she was working with Sarah, but it's like, okay, actually Sarah was probably never going to turn away from Tony. Was that a dead end to work with people like Sarah and Ben, who were sort of like always going to be more loyal to each other than they were going to be to Sophie?
Well, now that we know that essentially Sarah and Tony were never going to turn on each other, but they had purposefully hidden their relationship early in the game, I think that, yeah, it would be like, oh, okay, clearly that was a dead end. But at the time, I'm sure Sophie thought that she was Sarah's number one. And so that's the relationship that you see. Perception is reality. That's what you perceive. And so that's what Sophie chose to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just not to like rewrite season 40, but I feel like that, you know, if Sophie starts working with Kim and Denise, who they seem to have like a really good relationship together, like that feels like that could have been like the core of something that might have been able to disrupt Tony and eventually Sarah.
Yeah. In my fan fiction of Survivor season 40, that absolutely happens, because once I saw how close Sophie and Kim were, and then in Denise's video, throw Denise in the mix, she was also close with Sophie and Kim, or they were able to build a close relationship. It hit me in my strong woman fangirl heart.
Yeah. Of,
this is what I needed in my life.
But I think that this is probably the part where Sarah doesn't get enough credit, where I think it was like Sarah's like relationship to Sophie and maybe also to Kim was what like kept them from like, you know, linking up to target Tony. Like Tony's at that point in the time, he's running around with, you know, with Jeremy and Ben, and at least based on what we saw in the edit. And I think that Sarah is probably the one like keeping like a counter resistance from forming by like having like a really solid relationship with Sophie and a good enough relationship with Kim. And I think that that's probably something that really helps like deflect any attention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think also Sarah's relationship with Denise, too. And
yeah.
So when you sort of have that person in the middle that's telling every group, or, you know, being able to squash that thought of let's target Tony every single time a fire starts to arise, then, you know, that never is able to spread.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. Just thinking of the fire making challenge. I was like, is that an insult? Yes. She put out fires instead of making them. I don't know.
If you have a fire in your kitchen, would Wendell's comforter put it out? Would that be a safe thing?
Absolutely not.
No, the thing would go up.
So flammable.
Super flammable. Super flammable.
Yeah, it's lucky. Dried twine. Yeah.
We didn't lose Wendell or Danny or Yule this season. Okay, so on day 36, it's also some sort of a spa day. And so people are going to start getting some spa treatments. But before we get to that, Wendell, Jeremy, and Tyson are having a conversation. Leanna, could you follow the arbitrary and reductive rankings system that Wendell and Jeremy have?
Right. So this was roomies, number one roomies, Jeremy, Wendell, and Tyson all sitting together. And Wendell seems to have some sort of tier system that he's putting the winners in. So you have tier one, tier two, and tier three.
Is this similar to the legacy rankings?
Well, I didn't understand it, so probably then yes. They must be very similar.
Legacy Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you let the audience vote on where people go? Is it a pyramid? Is it not? Who knows? But yeah, but so tier one is Boston Rob, Sandra, Kim, those types of winners. Mm-hmm. Then tier two is
Tony
Wendell.
Level one now?
I guess so. I think so. He would probably fall. It's, you know, T1, Tony yes. number one.
Well, Wendell is going to vote for Jeremy, or I'm sorry, is going to vote for Tony. So I think and he also says calls Tony the goat on his parchment when he votes at the end. So I think Wendell would have him as a level one. I suspect Jeremy and Tyson do not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would suspect as well, based on some of their outcries, some of the tiers. Because didn't he put Tyson in tier three with Ben Dreeberg?
Yes, yeah. Well, Tyson was upset. He seemed annoyed that he wasn't in level one.
Well, but then, of course, Tyson gets put in tier zero, the ultimate tier, yes. The tier above tiers.
First, they say that, okay, and then you have your level three, that's like Ben Dreebergen, Tyson, and then that's where Tyson gets mad.
Yeah, which of course we all know this is arbitrary and reductive anyway, so there's no point to it.
And they burn Tyson and they say, like, look, you're one in four. That means you win 25% of when you play. And then Jeremy's one in three. Wendell's like, hey, at least I'm one in two. I'm 50% I win.
That's right. He's got the best win percentage. I think that puts him up in tier one with Tony.
Yes, but let's see.
Tony is two for three, right? So, okay, yeah, who has the best win percentage? I think it's Tony then.
Yeah,
of
multiple time players. Yeah. So he's right up there. Hey, if this was the majors, I'd be betting 666. massage day. Boston Rob, he enjoys a pedicure. That's what we hear. That's the spa treatment that he wants.
I really want Rob to experience his first pedicure. At home, he's always asking me to rub his feet. The girls are always rubbing his feet. I'm sure the person here can do a much better job than me and the girls, but he won't do it. He's such a chicken.
It's 10 a.m. It's lunchtime. I've literally probably had more couple massages with Tyson than I have with Amber.
Okay. All right. So... now, Leanna, is a pedicure the same as a foot massage?
Well, a pedicure usually includes a foot massage. So the pedicure is you get usually your toenails painted or done in some type of way. Yes. You get a foot massage, you get a foot treatment, lotion, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I got to be honest. This is more than I wanted to know about what's going on at Boston Rob's house.
Yeah, I think that's something that we all could have done without. I really don't like the images that it starts to put in my mind of.
I don't want to know. I didn't want to know. I didn't ask.
At least it was just feet.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And then Boston Rob in the clip, the second part of that is talking about how that he's probably gotten more couples massages with Tyson than with Amber.
So I think this morphs into one of my other favorite moments from these Ponderosa videos, which is the fact that Boston Rob and Tyson got close, of course, on the Heroes Villains pre-jury trip.
Yes.
And when Boston Rob came back, Amber was like, yeah, I didn't like Tyson.
Yes. Yeah. Again, another funny sequence is going to come up of people roasting Tyson in these Ponderosa videos.
Yeah, who would have thought that Tyson was going to be... I mean, maybe it goes to his great social game. People feel comfortable enough to make fun of him.
Yeah, because that's what Amber says about Rob and Tyson. That's great about their relationship. They just go back and forth, making fun of each other. And Boston Rob is they're talking about how Tyson is a stay-at-home dad with his kids. And then Boston Rob is talking about that, yeah, he's basically a play date for his own kids.
But I who was it that was like, so, and Tyson, you do? Yeah. Like, I didn't really know.
Yeah, stay-at-home dad. He has a podcast called News AF, okay? And then Tyson's like, yeah, that yeah, I'm a play date for my kids. Well, of course, they're going to hang out with me. I'm the one that drives. So, yeah, what are they going to do? I'm the best play date they've got.
Yeah, that was great. Classic Tyson.
Yeah. Wendell, that he's going to go back and make fun of how old Jeremy is. He's calling like, I don't know, Jeremy is just like trying to mind his own business. And like Wendell's like taunting him and saying that he lives in the nursing home.
Yeah. So, you know, Jeremy is clearly going through some stuff after coming off of the game. You can tell that he's still processing what's happening. And Wendell is just ruthless. Like, he's playing basketball, just calling Jeremy Gramp, saying he's hanging out in the nursing home.
Yeah.
Completely not listening. Jeremy's just trying to listen to music or whatever.
Yes. You know that Wendell is so bored now on Ponderosa that he's playing basketball with Nick.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Nick just showed up. He was there playing basketball, and yeah. Nick just, hey guys, what's going on?
Like, and I think like Nick like earnestly like wants to like play basketball with Wendell, but like Wendell like can't keep like going over to like to go see what Jeremy is doing.
Yeah, right. Because you know, I'm sure Wendell wanted to play with Jeremy, yes. But instead he got Nick.
Yeah, he's like the puppy, like trying to like wake up like the bigger sleeping dog.
Come hang out with me, please.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, I guess you're so old. You're too old. You're in the nursing home. You can't come hang out with me.
Do you need my comforter, Gramps?
Yeah. Put your bead on my comforter.
Yeah, that was, we're talking about that for a bit. So everybody apparently gets a bead that they get to put on the comforter. And I love the thing where it was, Wendell was like, yeah, just feel whatever section you want your bead to go. Like that's some sort of tarot card or Ouija board, like reading, like it'll tell you something about yourself. Yeah. Depending on where you put your bead.
Yeah. What part of the Wendell's comforter do you think you would be?
I would probably want to be on one of the edges near the top. I don't want to be near Yule's feet. Not that.
I think we'll be like right in the center.
Mm.
Right in the middle. See if I can do that. See if I can do that. But then it keeps getting bigger, so it's hard to always know where the center is. Where do you get the beads from?
Washed up with the twine?
Do they show up on the beach? There's a lot of treasure on the edge of extinction.
I guess so.
Maybe Wendell didn't have that bad of a time on the edge of extinction.
He seemed, I mean, from what he was talking about, he was like, yeah, I built a lot of stuff. So clearly he kept himself busy.
Yeah. We have that really funny moment. Again, all the really funny moments of people making fun of Tyson. I don't know what it is about Tyson. We get like Parvati and Danny mocking Tyson when the cameras are on versus Tyson when the cameras are off. Tyson is basically like, you know, cool dude with shades on, like giving like thumbs up when the camera's on. And then when the cameras are off, Tyson is like hunched over and like hobbling and can't even walk.
He's doing his best Jeremy Gramps impression, just like old man walking with the cane style.
Yeah. And then, even though this is only chapter four, we're going to get kind of an abrupt ending to like all the fun at Ponderosa.
Yeah. So, first of all, these types of videos and just watching the Survivor contestants interacting with one another, this is why I was so excited for season 40, because I wanted to see everybody making fun of Tyson. I for some reason wanted to see Boston Rob eating spaghetti and shrimp and having people ream on him for that. And so I wanted more of this content. And because there was 80 minutes or whatever of coverage, I was really hoping we get more of that. But like you said, it does kind of come to a very abrupt ending. And then the rest of the segments are other things that are definitely not this.
Yeah. I just realized that basically like this is exercises the closest that we get to a Survivor live feed update.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, you're right.
We broke down who's eating what. What are they doing?
What are they hanging out?
Funny moments from throughout the day.
We're going chronologically.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much what this is.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Who's sleeping in what room and everything? Boston Rob is talking about how you have to know who you are also when you play this game.
Yeah, you have to know who you are, or otherwise Survivor will tell you who you are.
Yeah.
I think was a comment from someone else. I can't
Sophie,
remember.
Sophie, I think, also was talking about this.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Which is interesting, especially given sort of the tonal shift of that type of comment, and then knowing in the back of my head that we're going to get potentially 16-year-olds playing the game. And definitely when I was 16, I for sure knew who
You knew who you were.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Okay, and then we go right from that one to we get sort of a weird that we had like three weird Ponderosa videos. We get one where people are like I don't know if they're looking at the messages that their loved ones left or the loved ones recorded Ponderosa video when they were at Ponderosa, and we're seeing we're flashing back to the loved ones, and then the survivors are talking about what it was like when they had a visit from their loved one.
Oh, this was so weird. So at first I thought that they had just recorded the loved ones at Ponderosa saying stuff, and then they were just kind of editing them together of, oh, this is about Ethan, you know, you get his wife talking and then him talking about their shared time. But then Kim's, it was like she was talking to her husband is how they had edited it together.
Yeah.
It was him talking and then her talking, and it felt like she was responding to him, but clearly that never happened. So
yeah.
I don't know if they
had them record videos to leave behind for their loved one. I really don't know exactly how this was. Did anything jump out to you from this one?
I wrote John Fincher the poser in all caps, so that was clearly the thing that stood out to me the most.
Yeah. There was only one clip that Yule has a story about how he ended up getting together with his wife Sophie. And he talks about how the night that she noticed him on Survivor.
So the second episode was a great one for me for a couple of reasons. One, I got sent to Exile Island and I found a hidden Muni idol, so I got a lot of screen time. The other thing is I lost my shirt, so I was basically topless for most of the episode. And I'd lost a lot of weight by then, so I was pretty cut.
So Yule, first I'm excited about the screen time.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is what it was like when I got to be on Survivor.
Screen time. And then he was topless like the whole show.
I don't know whose choice it was to include this part, but I applaud you because it's like, oh, this is when his wife was like, yeah, okay, now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would have been one thing if Sophie was saying this, but it feels a little weird coming from Yule.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, we really got, it was like, what, Ethan, Kim, Parv, the stuff about all the kids, and then this part about Yule. It felt very out of place.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's the episode called A Whole Lot of Love. Then we get a one-on-one. This actually was, these next two, I thought, were very interesting. Rob and Amber, one-on-one, talking about their love and their relationship as it pertains to Survivor.
Yes. So this was chapter 6, the love story.
The love
the
story.
Rob and yes. The Rob and Amber segment.
Yes.
Of course, I was like, wrote down like, oh, PTSD for Rob.
Yes, yes. I was not expecting to see that much of me in the Ponderosa videos.
Yeah, because they then did essentially their montage of their whole relationship, which includes several segments from All Stars.
Right.
Which and I'm sure you weren't expecting.
I would like a little bit more credit of Rob and Amber to talk about. Hey, and then the time that we really fell in love was the first vote that we had to do together that really cemented this relationship where we had to decide to vote off Sestanino.
Just brought them together, blossomed their love.
Yeah, yeah, that really set the wheels in motion.
That's right. I mean, and of course, we get the footage of it culminating in the proposal at the end. So it really is, you know, begins and ends there with you.
Yeah. I mean, I joke around. I mean, I think it is a cool story about Rob and Amber. I mean, first off, like, forget reality TV couples. Like, for a real couple, I mean, they've been together for 17 years.
And they have such a strong relationship. It's so evident from not only this video, but all the other content that we get from Ponderosa. Like, they just seem perfect for each other. It is amazing, honestly. And the fact that they met on Survivor above all of that adds an extra layer of craziness to the story.
Yeah. And yeah, that both of them, like, they're like it's like a real love story. And believe me, I didn't think it was going to be when it started.
Yeah, look at you.
Look at them. I'm proud of them. They kept this thing together.
They talked about this is going to be a good story for the grandkids, which, I mean, unbelievable. And now they have their very own video that they can just show their grandkids. Look, you don't even have to. You can just watch this video.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, that we were all like, oh, like, this is going to last. Yeah, right. Okay. Sure. He just wants the money.
Well, please tell me, guys, did you guys take bets on how long, over under, how long the relationship is going to last?
I don't know. I don't think anybody like took bets on it, but everybody was like, you know, very, very much like skeptical about it. You know, survivors are always haters. You know, just like, I'm sure like the people that, you know, didn't go far in this season are like haters about the people that went far in that season. I'm sure there was a ton of that in Survivor All Stars, where the people that went out early were like, you know, major haters about, you know, Rob and Amber doing so good in that season. So, you know, it comes with the territory. But that being said, like, you know, it's you know, really amazing what they've been able to do. And I thought this was nice. I mean, I didn't need to flashback to so many times of, you know, me being hapless at Shapara. I was fine with just exploring the present.
I think this was really interesting because I do Casuals Corner on the RHAP BNB, and of course the Casuals love Boston Rob.
Sure.
But here in this moment, seeing their love for each other, you know, I was like, I'm rooting for these kids.
Yeah.
They really just have something amazing, and it warms my heart.
Yeah, it's a nice story. It's a nice story. Yeah. Rob and Amber. I feel like that it's stood the test of time.
And they've revisited their love now being out here on season 40. I think they have enough, you know, enough juice to go the distance.
Yeah. Okay. On the other end of the spectrum, the other end of the Island of the Idol spectrum, we have an episode that's all about Sandra is the queen.
Yeah, the epic tribute to Sandra Diaz Twine, not the twine on the edge of extinction in Wendell's comforter. And we get a whole recap of all of her games, including the Island of the Idols, which I didn't expect to see. But it was nice that that was also shown. Truly a tribute to Sandra. It was a substantial amount of time, I think, too. Like, what, 6 or 7 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, this was a long video. It was nice to, you know, sort of go run through this. Did you learn anything new about Sandra?
It was 12 minutes, first of all.
Yeah.
Wanted to go and check on that. No, I don't know if I necessarily learned anything new about her, but it was cool to see the entire story all put together.
Yeah.
In sort like of one
season
go.
By season. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Then back to some traditional fare at Ponderosa. Denise, Ben, and Sarah. I think that Denise's was the best of these three.
I would say so. I have the most notes for her. That could be because I lost my energy as I was going, or it was the best. Not sure.
Yes. Okay. Denise gets voted out. Denise, Ben, Sarah, all three of them come back to Ponderosa, all very content with how the season ended up playing out.
Yeah, that's definitely clear. And they all seem, happy, which I kind of didn't expect him, you know, used to people being a little bit upset when they get voted out. But here it felt like there was a lot of acceptance with their games. Mm-hmm. And Mike and I talked about this on the B&B with Gabby, but a lot of these winners, because they had already won the game, they sort of came in with these secondary agendas of other things that they wanted to accomplish.
Oh, that's interesting.
Denise and Ben were two of those that really stood out, because Denise was like, you know what? I've already played the social game. I just want to find idols. I want to make some moves. And she voted out, double idled out the queen, mm-hmm. essentially, which is the biggest move you could really ever make. And Ben wanted to build relationships. And that was something that he absolutely accomplished on the season and didn't have to rely on idols and those types of things. So I think that's part of the reason maybe why they were in such high spirits.
Was that why maybe second chances? I don't know if I haven't really thought this through. Was that a better format than Winners at War, because that everybody is coming back on second chances with like but this time I'm gonna win, as opposed to this season where there are a lot of people that sort of had like all right, I've already won, cross that off my Survivor bucket list, here are the other things I want to accomplish.
Well, I did make a counter argument to that idea, which was, well, I think there were some people who came back with, yes, a secondary agenda, but that agenda revolved around doing well in the game. So Michelle, for example, wanted to prove that she could play the game. And so I think that kind of coincides with winning. But mm-hmm. yeah, maybe that's a good point, that when you have everybody in there a second chance, it's like the only thing I have left to do is to win, instead of vice versa. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that some of the people that came back with the idea about like the way that they were perceived, I feel like that's not necessarily that they wanted to win, but they maybe wanted to be to get like the big edit of the person who is like controlling the game.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Or even just make big moves, you know, even if it's going to be ultimately detrimental to their game in the long run, at least they did something big and flashy.
Liana, have you and Mike commented on Denise's habit of referring to herself in the third person as Mama D?
Oh my gosh, no. But that was all I could notice. So Mama needs a shower. Mama made it through. It
Mama,
like,
D.
Mama D.
Yeah.
When did she become Mama D? Was it a self-appointed nickname? Because that's what I think it seems to be.
I feel like that Mama D would be the name of the Cajun grandma that Jeff was trying to track down once upon a time.
Yeah, I think that might have been the case. I don't know how that came to be Denise's nickname.
Yeah, Mama D stinks. Mama D needs to shave. Here's Mama D that she didn't think she lost that much weight, but...
I lost my boobs, but I still have a little bit of butt.
Unlike Ethan.
Yes. So Denise did not impress people with her food ordering. She was a real Adam Klein. That's why her and Adam were on the same page coming into the game. You know, they give you the menu and they say you can get, I like that, where it's almost like you can order ahead, where they'll radio in your order about what you want at Ponderosa. And I think Denise thought she had a crazy order, but tell me if you think that this was that crazy.
How random is it to go like eggs, toast, bacon, and French fries? Like, that's just a weird combo.
I don't think it is, Denise.
Yeah, that's called breakfast.
It's an important meal.
It's like, I'm sorry, which one? Is it the French fries? Is that what you think is weird? Because you just have home fries. It's effectively the same thing.
Yeah. Eggs, toast, bacon, French fries. Not that weird of a combo. I mean, it's like not exactly shrimp and spaghetti for breakfast.
Yeah, who would have thought that would have been the weirder order? But Denise, yeah, oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Even when she came back to eat, the other players were even commenting on that she did not bring that big of an appetite.
Yeah, who is it that was disappointed
Sophie.
In what she ordered?
Sophie was.
Sophie, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
She lost the competition for the best order when voted out in Ponderosa.
Yeah. Liana, there was also some, things got tense with Denise over dinner. Like, everybody wanted to know like things from the game. Like, all the Edge of Extinction people like finally got a chance to talk to a person that was voted out of the game here at the final six. They had like a ton of questions for her. I'm not sure necessarily why this got so tense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the atmosphere. It was just very tense because apparently Mama D holds all the answers. And so she's the one that's going to be cornered and then just nitpicked apart, which with, you know, all the details of what was actually going on.
Like, I'm one of you. I'm one of you guys. Why are you mad at me? I didn't do anything.
I was on the bottom too. I don't know why you're looking at me.
So I wonder if this is the same night as the Sarah gender bias conversation happened. And I wonder how much of that spilled over to Ponderosa, because there's one point where there is like a tense moment with Nick. And I don't know if he is arguing with Sophie. And I'm really not quite sure where he's going with this. Let's listen to that moment.
I got a question. Who blindsided Sophie? Tony did? Well, I voted with him. I voted you. I wrote your name down, Sophie. Me and Tony are both, man. Why don't we get credit?
Okay. Where is Nick going with this?
I have no idea.
Is he saying that him and Tony didn't get any credit for voting out Sophie because they're both men?
Because he's also a man, so he didn't get credit? Like, because he's also a man, he deserves credit because Tony got credit? I have no idea. I don't know what being a man has to do with this.
Yeah.
Because it was four people who were in on the vote, right? It was Michelle, Tony, Michelle's Nick, the only and Jeremy. Woman.
Did Michelle get credit for voting out Sophie?
Nick is also a man. Tony, Nick, and Jeremy are all men. Why don't they get credit?
Yeah, let's see. Let me listen to this one more time.
I got a question. Who blindsided Sophie? Tony did.
I hear some Boston Rob murmuring.
Okay, yeah, because okay. And then what does Denise say Tony?
I guess somebody said Tony. I think that maybe it was Sophie said it because it sounds like he's responding to Sophie. Let me see.
I got a question. Who blindsided Sophie? Tony did? Well, I voted with him. I voted you. I wrote your name down, Sophie. Me and Tony are both, man. Why don't we get credit?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Boston Rob murmuring now is the most interesting part. Is something about my perspective? Is he ordering more seafood? I don't know. Pischetti, perhaps.
Spaghetti over here.
I don't know where Nick is going, what his point is, why he's saying this. It was all just very confusing.
I don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on.
No one knows.
I think that's it. And that's a wrap for Nick. I don't think we hear from him again.
Yeah, that was Nick's. I think that was the apart from Nick in with the women clinking their glasses toast together. I think those are the two moments I ever noticed Nick.
Yeah,
basketball game.
Hey, why didn't I get any credit in this toast? I was right here, wasn't I?
I'm a man too.
I'm a man. I'm a man. Yeah.
And Nick.
Yeah. Okay. So Mama D is going to retire to her quarters. Anything else from Mama D?
I think it really was the relationship with Kim, Sophie, and Denise, that moment with all three of them having a coffee. And I think it was kind of the next morning. So it was after this really intense night discussion that was happening. And just seeing their relationship, the three of them together, it was amazing. It was like I talked about this earlier, but it was just really cool to see the three of them, the legend, you know, female legends of the game, all talking to one another.
Yeah, 23, 24, 25.
It's what you thought, Rob. They would have worked together.
At Ponderosa, all of my predictions came true. Okay. All right. Then Ben comes out of the game. Okay. We see Ben's Ponderosa, and Ben is going to do his weigh-in. I have a clip from that.
184.4. I had like four things of rice today.
I love Ben's laugh.
Ben's video is really fun. And
yeah.
Like, Ben is such a fun character to watch. And, you know, I know he gets a lot of ire and maybe some of it's deserved. I don't know. But regardless, it's just really fun to see him. He was so happy, too. Maybe that was part of it. You got to hear his insane laugh and his excitement over the ribeyes, which was also lovely.
He said that you could have given him a dollar store ribeye. He would have been happy.
What is a dollar store rhubarb?
I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that, Ben. I don't think it's anything that's stay away. The dollar store ribeye. Yeah, but for Ben, I know he gets a lot. He gets a lot of hate from everybody because that nobody likes how he won in Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, and now that people say like, oh, he walked away from the game, that was a quit. He was happy, Leo. Who cares?
Exactly. He was happy, even though he looked like a gold miner from the 1930s. He was still happy.
Yeah.
One other note was, so if hearing you say Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, his video on the Survivor Facebook page said Heroes, Healers, Dealers.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, the Poker Alliance, who would have thought?
Oh, yeah. Okay. At least it's that kind of dealer.
Well, you know, it could be. That would be a very interesting twist on the game. Also, I think they spelled Heroes wrong, so
Oh my god, hey Lucina, get in here, we got a dealer.
When extortion is legal, dealing's legal, it's fine. It's all legal in Survivor.
The Ben video, I also liked the relationship with Ben and Denise, which I didn't realize in the game that they were that close, but it seems like that they have like also like a really cool relationship.
Yeah, well, Ben lists his closest relationships of being Mama D, Sarah, and Sophie.
Which is
another one I was surprised about. That Sarah, Sophie, Ben may have been a trio, which could have been really interesting to see. But yeah, and of course, the shower beer moment was classic Ben.
Yeah, he's going to get a beer and then go to have another beer in the shower. Also, that it was commented during, I guess, the finale talk, but he's got a unique look that he's going to go with.
Oh, yes. He went from looking like a gold miner from the 1930s to like a hillbilly biker.
Which, yeah.
Denise also kind of rocked that look with the bandana. So I don't know if that was thematic. They were going for a couple's costume. It was their version of the toga party. The hillbilly biker party.
Yeah. Did you see that Ben also got the Endure and Let Go tattoo?
Did he really?
Yeah. He got him too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about that. What tattoo would we get for Ben? Mm-hmm. And we just decided we would cross out some of his uglier tattoos.
Oh, just cross them out. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's like what I want to do with Survivor when people say we should do another think tank.
What? Cross it out?
Yeah, no, I want to do stink tank and then just like say, no, these are the bad ideas that we should just get rid of.
Yeah, that's better. And then just, you know, try to erase them off.
Yeah. Leon, it made me kind of sad when that like all these survivors are like, oh, this person is my best friend. This person is going to be my friend for life. That I feel like that I would be so happy if I went back on Survivor and somebody was like, wow, Rob is my good friend. That I want to be friends with Rob for my entire life.
No, you didn't make any long lasting friendships when you were out there.
No. Yeah, I would be like, oh my god, nobody's ever said that to me before. I would be like, it's like all these people made all these friends.
The kid in the corner no one wants to hang out with.
Yeah. I did a podcast with Stephen Fishback for 8 years, and he's always like, I would vote you out. I don't have any bonds with any survivors.
Yeah, who would you be closest to? I don't know what you would do. You know, that could be beneficial, though. You know?
I guess so.
Don't have any close ties.
I guess so.
Probably a bad thing.
Not a great thing.
Okay. No.
Let's talk about Lucina's arrival at Ponderosa. And she's another person comes out of the game pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, exactly. Add her to the list of people that seem to be in very good spirits. You know, she does remark, well, I didn't lose $2 million because I didn't have it in the first place,
which I thought
was kind of a cool attitude to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't lose all that much weight either, I don't think.
Yeah, she thought she only lost like a couple of pounds because she felt like that she was fine. She actually turns the table on the doctor and starts asking questions about how he's doing.
You okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
You can't help
bowel
but look
movements are fine and
solid as a rock.
Okay, good. You look good. Color looks good.
Feeding me well.
Okay. Been hydrating?
After you told me to, I feel better.
Good. Good. All right. Colors your urine?
Too far.
Even the doctor's like, shut it down. Shut down the bit. I'm over it.
No, we're not allowed to talk about this. that was funny. And Sarah also, finally, somebody came in and impressed the jury with how much that they ate. How many lobsters did Sarah eat?
It may have been just one, but she had multiple plates. She had a salad, a burger, something else, and a lobster, I think. Yeah. I don't know if she had a dollar store ribeye. But.
I don't get the salad. That seems like maybe I can ask Adam Klein. What are people doing, like ordering a salad? This just feels like a waste of time at the Ponderosa.
That should absolutely not count. Okay. If you're going to count the number of plates people are eating, salad doesn't count. Especially.
Why?
Because it's healthy. I feel like you can't eat something.
Yeah, no, I'm
something.
Saying why is anybody even getting a salad? It's like, I've just been is this like an appetizer? Why? It's just wasting space.
I don't know. Maybe it depends on the dressing to lettuce ratio. If it's heavily dressed, then it counts more. But obviously, Adam Klein, he has precious room in his stomach and fiber and water. He's not going to waste his time with that.
Okay. Anything else about these Ponderosa videos? And then we have some questions about the Ponderosa videos.
I think that was it. I think the fun moments for me were from the chapters 1 through 4. So if you are interested in going back and watching any of these videos, those are the ones that I think I personally had the most fun with.
Yeah.
But
I agree. I'd say probably 3 and 4 are probably the most. Maybe 2, 3, 4. You can skip the first one.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's a lot of just them walking on the beach with sodas and shoving Kit Kat bars in each other's mouths.
Right. Okay.
Might be able to do away with that.
Leanna, Matt Gagan wants to know, who's the Ponderosa MVP?
Ooh, I really loved the trio of Jeremy, Wendell, and Tyson.
That was fun.
Yeah. Is it the collective of people ragging on Tyson, perhaps? Can we crown that as the MVP?
Matt says his votes are Parvati and Jeremy. Parvati was also fun that she was like had like Danny as a sidekick. I thought she had some good moments.
Mm-hmm. Her confessionals were really good, too. I think she did a really great job. As we know, you know, Kim is so good at putting a wrap on her story. Well, I think Parv was really good at wrapping up her story as well.
Yeah, Wendell was also good on the Ponderosa. Okay. Stephanie wants to know, what would your Ponderosa food order be? Rob, what was yours in the Amazon? Again, it wasn't like this in the Amazon. I don't remember it wasn't like, okay, what do you want us to cook you for dinner? It was like, here's whatever slop we're having.
So you got voted out. They gave you orange soda and some
Oreos. And then I went to a boat. It was like a boat that was like on on the sand. I don't know if it was like some sort of like a boat that had like a bunch of rooms on it. And then like there was food there, but it wasn't anything that was that good. And it wasn't anything that was like, hey, what do you want us to make up for you? And then I was just like drinking.
If you are making a pros and cons list of reasons to ever play Survivor again, I think you can put the Ponderosa accommodations on the pro list.
Yeah. Well, in the Survivor All-Stars, the Ponderosa was more of a setup like this one was. And I want to say, like, I think they had like a burger and fries. And then I think I had like, I think they wanted to give me, I really don't remember what I had to drink, but it was definitely an alcohol beverage from that night.
What a weird food combo, Rob.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, I want to say it was like, I got like a rum and Coke or something like that. Like something like, something that had like liquor in it. I think Rudy was drinking a beer.
You were like, whatever hard alcohol there is, that I would like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it was not that fun. It wasn't like that, you know, everybody was going crazy. Like, Rudy and Tina weren't like, super psyched to see me.
No, not the raging party that you expected.
No, it was not. It was not. Huh. Yeah. Didn't get to put a bead on Wendell's quilt or anything like that. So wasn't that exciting. Okay. Mike Christensen said, are you disappointed that Rob and Amber are going to do it? Wasn't in their Ponderosa love story. Yeah. Why not give me that credit?
If they were going to include, like, if they're going to go that far back and really tell that story, your confessional is such a classic moment. You just have to include it. So yeah. I was a little disappointed I didn't see it.
I don't believe there was anybody else. Like, I it was Rob and Amber talking about each other, but I don't believe that we saw anybody else's opinion of Rob and Amber from a Survivor episode.
Which, you know, Tyson being as close to Boston Rob, you'd expect to get a little commentary from him. But yeah, they didn't want any third wheels here. We're just focusing on Rob and Amber. It's called the Rob and Amber segment, not the Rob and Amber segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Philip Marshall. Liana, if you would have been given the opportunity to be there, which room would you have wanted to hang out in the most?
Could I get the big bed if I had fought Jeremy and Tyson for it?
I mean, it's like a sumo at sea, I think, if you want to get the big bed.
Yeah.
Just gonna fight and to like push somebody off.
I would not have stood a chance. I probably would have loved to have been in the room with Kim and Sophie if that was definitely an option, but more likely I'm out with Nick sleeping on Wendell's comforter.
Lauren wants to know, which Ponderosa moment made you get the most emotional? Did you have one moment that you thought was especially brought the feels?
I think it came and went a little bit, especially the big picture comments about celebrating people's careers and celebrating everything that they've done on Survivor. But the family visit always gets me. So the whole lot of love segment, there was a whole lot of love there.
Yeah. I wouldn't really say that there was like a big moment, but I felt like where Sophie and Kim were like talking about you're my friend and you're great. And why didn't we see this sooner? Like, I know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I felt like that was, I don't know what the right emotion is other than Paul Rudd meme, like, look at us. But I don't know what that emotion is.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Not me. Yeah.
So, okay. Then let's see. Puya weighed in and said, Denise said French fries with eggs and bacon would be a weird combination. Is it?
Yeah. See? He knows what's
no
up.
Utility vegetable there for Denise. No. Yes.
No, and that's a man who had Pringles for breakfast one day. So,
okay. Just Breet wants to know, what info can we learn from the clips that we got of everybody interrogating Denise when she got to Ponderosa? It was a lot, and I didn't catch much of the conversations when I watched it.
Yeah, us neither. So, Nick was mad about something, not getting credit. And I think that's really all I learned.
But why did this? You have to get credit from Denise.
I think was he talking to Sophie? See, that's it. We've listened to this clip, I think, twice. I think I've watched it twice, and I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, does he want more credit than Tony? Does Nick feel like that this was his move to vote out Sophie?
Got a question. Who blindsided Sophie? Tony did? Well, I voted with him. I voted you out. I wrote your name down, Sophie. Me and Tony are both men. Why don't we get credit?
Because he's not saying, why don't I get credit? Why don't we get credit?
Right, but just Tony and him, I guess. Mm-hmm. Are the
does
only
Jeremy
two
get credit? Does Jeremy get credit? Why doesn't he get credit?
I don't know. Does Michelle get credit? Why doesn't she get credit?
Okay. Okay. Chris Rosensick wants to know, what are your thoughts about Coca-Cola being the quote-unquote breakfast of champions? Successful author Boston Rob Mariano seems to enjoy it. Ethan seems to have a hard time with the burn. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Ethan has a lot to learn, but under the tutelage of Rob, I think he'll get there.
Yeah. Lots of soda for the Edge of Extinction returnees. Okay. Brent Love says, what did Ethan say about Sarah winning the Ponderosa food order? Honestly, what was so impressive about her food choices?
Well, I think it was the amount seemed to be, because there was the emphasis on four plates. So I don't know if it matters necessarily what you get. It just matters how much you eat. It seems to be a volume metric.
And variety.
And variety, yes. Because clearly Mama D did not understand that.
Yeah. Let's see. Mike Christensen says, these videos are done by a different team than who edits the episodes, right? Is Nick's tendency to creep into conversations just so pervasive that it had to be included here as well?
It must be. Do we know if it's a separate team that does the editing?
Yeah. So the person that does the Ponderosa videos is a guy named James Seal. He always gets like credit at the end of these Ponderosa videos, but he does not work on the production of in terms of like the actual TV show.
Okay. So then, I mean, yeah, there's some through line here. Apparently, yeah. This is just a trait of his.
From what I understand, I think he like shows up at like the merge. Like I think he's not there in the first half of the season even, and so he just comes in for the couple of weeks to do the Ponderosa videos.
For a brief second I thought you were talking about Nick.
No. Like, no,
that was his edit though, right? Yeah. He didn't get much, started getting more content at the merge, so.
yes. So I feel like that for Nick here is the game is one thing, but here at the Ponderosa, it seems like the only people that hang out with him might be Wendell and I'm not sure, maybe Adam or Yule, but there's not really any evidence to support that.
No, I'm trying to remember because Adam was very fixated on not eating that much food. So clearly his mind was occupied. I'm not quite sure who Nick's camp friends were.
I don't know. Let's see. Elizabeth Irwin says, Sophie, still trying to figure out what happened to her. And it looks like she was on a steady stream of morphine during the final tribal council. I wonder if she had any memory of the final tribal council. Her clap at the end should be a meme for all time. I didn't get like a close up look at Sophie at the final tribal council.
So I did see one moment where she's clearly just kind of slumping down, where you can tell she still looks like she's sick, but I didn't notice that much. It was definitely the Where's Waldo of juries because there's just so many people.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to find everybody.
And it's not like her to not be somebody who's very outspoken in a setting like that.
Okay. No, the stage fright that Yule suffered
had,
from.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, seen that from Sophie.
All right. Let's see. Anything else that's interesting? Kyle wants to know, who did the better Tyson impression, Parvati or Danny?
Well, I think they're, you know, the two sides to the same coin, the safe or not safe sides to the 50-50 coin, right? You got to have Tyson on camera and then Tyson is the old man off camera.
Yeah. Leon, any ways that we can improve the Ponderosa videos? Assuming that we have season 41 and really what better place to have Ponderosa videos than the Old West, right?
Yes. Survivor Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Coming to you soon.
Yes. Yes. When I spoke with Kellen today, she said that we should go with, make sure we call it Wild Wild West. That Old West doesn't sound as exciting as Wild West.
Yes, I agree. You need Wild Wild West.
Two wilds.
Think about the song, yeah. You know, that we would get. Winners at War, Wild Wild West. You could repurpose the Wild Wild West song.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Chester could sing it. It'll be great. So how can we improve Ponderosa videos? Like, should we be like incorporating more like segments to the Ponderosa videos?
Ooh, like everybody gets their own segments. Like, they kind of do. I mean, they kind of have the food, you know, getting off the boat, you know, food segment, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm wondering, like, could we like build in like different like segments of like five questions or some sort of everybody like gives like a gift from the dollar store, a la like a Big Jeff.
like the dollar store ribeye
for Ben.
For
that's
Ben.
Perfect. Yeah. So could we do something?
Yeah, I think that would be good. I think that'd be fun. You know, you want to get more information and maybe more coherent information out of people. And so these segments could be a great way to do it.
Yeah. So I feel like that I would be really good in the Ponderosa. Like I think I could be the MVP of Ponderosa videos if I was like, you know, voted out like day 24.
I think you would know how to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these people are still just kind of recovering and just doing what they... And I mean, not even thinking much about it, where he's like, you know that this is for entertainment.
Right. Like me going on Survivor and then pretending to do Rob Has a Podcast, like on the beach. Annoying. Nobody likes that. Me pretending to do Rob Has a Podcast at Ponderosa. Everybody loves it. Huge hit.
Yes, exactly. We could get you doing all the
Reddit
interviews.
Thread, 600 upvotes. Oh my God. King, do it on the show. Annoying. We hate you. Go away.
Right. You just got to know the right place to do it. Then you can get all the upvotes, all the memes just for you.
Yes. Competitive eating. What about that on Ponderosa?
Ooh, the way to, yeah, that way it's actually a little bit more concrete what the rules are for winning the best food order when you get voted out.
Yeah. Okay. Was there any question that you had about the cast of the season that you feel like went unanswered by the Ponderosa videos?
Sorry.
Other than what is Nick mad about?
Well, now I'm just thinking about the Joey Chestnut moments of Ponderosa. I don't think I want to watch that. Let's see. Anything that got answered? I think I actually honestly maybe had more questions. Like the Wendell and Danny relationship still was very fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Needed to know more about that. I thought that was very bizarre. But I think it solidified the fact that the old school players really did seem to be pretty tight with one another. And that was something that, you know, we saw on the season, but then even more so in the Ponderosa videos.
Okay. Will you be trying out spaghetti and shrimp for breakfast anytime soon?
I think I have to now. This is especially, I'm still in an isolation. So what better time? There are no rules anymore. Spaghetti and shrimp for breakfast.
Yeah.
It's like a good idea.
Okay. All right. Liana, anything else about Ponderosa?
I think that's everything I had.
Okay. Shower beer is going to be back in the rotation for you?
Shower beer, these spaghetti and shrimp, shower beer, dollar store ribeyes. I have a whole shopping list that I'll have to do now.
Okay.
Oh, no, there was a good moment. It was when Denise got voted out and she was on the pier and they were, what drink do you want? And Denise was like, oh, if there's a Corona. No, Denise.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. No, sorry. No, thank you, Mama D. Trust
sorry,
us.
Yeah.
Trust
We're
us.
Out.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Liana. Anything else that you want to tell people to check out in all your podcasting?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Cat Daddy Love Remix.
So I told my kids that I played the clip where Tony called me Cat Daddy Love. They thought that was the funniest thing. And then they were calling me Cat Daddy Love, like, you're Cat Daddy Love. And they were really like taunting me. I felt like Tyson.
Wait, so it became an insult?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I don't know.
All right. Well, now I'm looking forward to when your kids visit you for the family visit on Survivor.
Yeah,
we get Cat Daddy Love.
Yeah. What's going on, Cat Daddy Love?
So emotional. Just and pulls at my heartstrings.
Jeff, you're like, what does that mean? Cat Daddy Love. Jeff, it is a long story.
Can you explain the close relationship that must be shown through your kids calling you Cat Daddy Love?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then I have around here, I have all the puppets of all of the survivors from stupid things that I do. And Anthony found the Tony one and he was like, hey, Cat Daddy Love. It taunts me.
Favorite new toy.
Yeah.
Be careful with that.
All right. Liana, of course, the B&B.
Yes. Okay. Actual plugs. You can find me on Twitter at Liana, RHAP, podcasting. About
yeah. I noticed that. And you have a professional Twitter and now a RHAP Twitter handle.
Yeah. So what happened was quarantine started and then the scientific community, for some reason, decided to all start communicating via electronic platforms,
yes,
which makes sense, but
makes
including
sense.
Twitter. So I started having people following me and I was like, you do not want to follow
yes.
me. Like, you know, these professors at MIT, like, no. You definitely do not want to see this content. So I did switch over. I have a professional handle. Well, and a, you know, semi-professional handle
yes.
here for RHAP.
Yeah.
So, that one is at Liana RHAP.
Smart.
Yeah, I know. See, I don't want to be tweeting Cat Daddy Love to all my colleagues, but...
right. And, of course, the RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up as well.
Yes, RuPaul's Drag Race for Hap Up. That we are wrapping up season 12, but then we're going to start off again with All Stars season 5. So that will be following right after. And then the Masked Singer for Hap Up with Puya Zanvakili. We are almost done with that. I think we have one more week and then finally that season is over.
Yeah, I mean, that's been going on since the Super Bowl.
It's been 4 months, Rob.
It's been 4 years.
That's exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
And like we talk about in Survivor, oh, we need 2-hour episodes. And The Masked Singer, which doesn't even deserve to fill an hour's worth of content, for some reason gets 4 months worth. But we're still having a good time over on the podcast, making fun of everything. So check that out. And then they're supposedly going to be back for season 4 in the fall. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Have they also come out and said, we will be doing The Masked Singer no matter what?
Not in the same, with the same type of fervor as Jeff, but mm-hmm. they did release a little promo, says they will be back in the fall. So
yeah.
We shall see what that means.
I mean, if you end up scrapping the studio audience, it's probably like one of the easier shows to do. I mean, first off, like by definition, the singers are wearing a mask.
They are literally masked
yeah.
singers.
And you space out the judges. And I think that show is an easy one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And they have to stay isolated anyway. So it just, writes itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's actually a pretty easy one to get back on schedule. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, well, Liana, this was so fun to go through all these Ponderosa videos with you. Do you think that people have stayed throughout the entire 90 minutes of talking about Ponderosa videos?
I don't know. If so, I'm here to help if you need more yes. Survivor
Let's
content.
Let's give it a hashtag. Let's give it a hashtag to see if people made it to the end of this one. Well, what's the hashtag for the end of this one?
Let's see. I don't know. Wendell's Comforter. I have no ass. Mama D.
Yeah, Mama D. Dollar Store Ribeye.
Dollar Store Ribeye. I think that's a good one. Yeah.
I'm a man too. Okay. Let's go with spaghetti and shrimp.
Spaghetti and shrimp, yes. Breakfast of champions along with Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Spaghetti and shrimp. I feel like that's a pretty unique one. Let's go with that. And then thank you guys so much for listening. And of course, we are now we've gone through all of the content that was put out last week. Now we're getting into interview season. We'll have the hearing, all the unanswered questions from the Ponderosa. We'll get to the bottom of that as well. So stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe. Robinswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Good one. Bye.